Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air. Your hosts for today's show are Robert Brining and Jack McEnroe. They will be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That's 347-215-9442. Welcome to PosIM Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to PosIM Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. I'm joined by my co-host and birthday boy, Jack McEnroe. Jack, how are you?
I'm 40. That's how old I am. That's how I am. I'm old.
Not old.
I know. No, it's all good. I'm happy to be 40. I love it. So, yeah, I'm not. And as I was chatting with you earlier online, I'm not doing anything today. I'm lying in my bed. I had cupcakes for breakfast. I'm just lying. I'm doing this radio show, and that's like the extent of my work for today. So, good.
That's awesome. Well, today we have a special guest who's one of your friends, right, Jesse?
Yeah, I was just talking to him yesterday, actually, because I just flew in from Fort Lauderdale, and he lives in the Miami, Lauderdale area, so I was talking to him, and yeah, he's crazy. You'll get a kick out of him. He's a hoot.
Yeah, we spoke a few times on the phone. He definitely is a hoot.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting because he was on the cover of Paws when he was 19, but he's just turned 21, and then you're turning 30, correct, soon?
Yeah.
And then I'm 40 today, so we'll be representing three decades, which will be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. I finally won't be the youngest one.
What's going on with you?
With me, nothing much, really. Just basically, you know, the same stuff, just trying to organize everything on the site, and nothing exciting yet. I'm ready to – I can't wait to go to Florida. I go there in May, and I just can't wait.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's a beautiful vacation.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's finally, as people, listeners know, I'm usually in New York, and it's finally getting to be actually spring here, so that's a nice, welcome change. So, and
that's
I just want to, go ahead. Well, before we start talking to Jesse when he calls in, real quickly, I'm leaving on the 5th to go to Chicago for Living Positive by Design event. And then there's some media events surrounding that, but the big event is May 7th, which is the AFC, which stands for the AIDS Foundation of Chicago's annual fashion event. It's called Make a Statement, Design for the Cure. And, there's going to be a fashion show and drinks and probably, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a silent auction. I'm not sure about all the details, but so that should be fun, and I know you can buy tickets by going to www.aidschicago.org, and it starts at 7 p.m., and I said it's on the 7th, 7 p.m. on the 7th, so that's Chicago time, whatever that is.
Whatever that is, an hour behind us, I think.
Yeah, it's an hour behind us. And then the AIDS Walk in New York is on the 17th. And you can find out information about that by going to aidswalk.net and then / New York. And then if you just go to aidswalk.net, you can find out about the AIDS Walk in your area. So that's always a great cause to be involved in. So I know tons of people are doing that. And I will be back in New York for that. So it's all good.
Busy man. I'm glad that I have time to get you in to do the show with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, the great thing about, you know, technology now is all you need is a phone. I can do this. Like I said, I'm in my bed.
Well,
I'm in my bed with cupcake frosting smeared in my hair, and, like, you know, I haven't taken a shower yet, so luckily it's radio and not television, and we're all good to go.
I was just thinking that beforehand when I was getting ready. I'm like, God, if this was, like, something on TV and we had to go to a studio.
Yeah, that's a whole another thing. It's a lot more work. Although, I do have to congratulate, I mean, I don't think people realize how much work you put into this. I mean, booking people and making sure they understand how to do, you know, go through the whole procedure and making sure they, you know, fit into the schedule. I mean, it's a lot of work. So, you know, kudos to you for doing all that stuff, because when I got involved in the project, I don't know if everyone knows what I basically said to you. I'm like, I'll be happy to co-host, but I don't have time to like do all the logistical stuff. So you're like the man. You're like, you know, you really deserve credit for putting this all together because you do all the back work for the most part. So,
thank you. I think I have Jesse here on the line, so let's see if we can bring her in.
Get that queen up on here so we can bitch at her.
You are so crazy.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Jacqueline.
So,
hey, Rob.
I have you in my phone and as a messy Jesse, so I remember who you are.
You're tranny Dax. It's cool. It's all good. It's all good.
Excellent.
So
what's up,
show,
guys?
Jeff.
Thanks, how Robert.
You?
How are you? I'm good, and you?
Good, good.
So what's up, guys? What are we talking about today? I heard you guys, I overheard you saying that you were in bed, Jack.
Uh-huh. I'm not getting out of bed today.
What are you wearing?
I'm not. I'm in my underwear.
Oh, my God. You should, like, not wear underwear because your ass is humongous, Jack.
Shut up!
It's like Aunt Jemima. Okay. I was with Jack on the beach, and I was, like, walking up to him, and he was turned around, and, like, all you could see is, like, ass. It was, like, nothing else but ass. His bathing suit, like, the crack was, like, popping out. I was like, what is this?
Hey, but you know what? At least at 40 years old, it's still where it's supposed to be. So that's all I
got.
No,
for sure. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, his ass is great. It's all muscular. It looks like super huge. It's like a black girl's ass.
Oh my God, you are a crazy freak. So,
shut up.
Well, let's talk about like real topics besides my ass.
Let's do it.
I learned a little bit about you. I didn't know you were on the cover of Pause when you were 19. Like, I didn't know that was so long ago.
Yeah, I know.
You're 21 now, right? You just had your birthday.
Thanks. I just turned 21 last month. I feel super old. So, yeah, I did the cover of Pause when I was 19. Shut up.
Bitch.
I did. I'll cut you. No, but listen, let's get serious. No, yeah, I did the cover of Pause when I was 19. I found out on my birthday, my 19th birthday. And then, like, a couple months later, I spoke with Regan. And nothing, I like Regan, the editor-in-chief of Pause. She's, like, fabulous. She's like, oh, my God, you're gorgeous, and you're, like, a great example to show the world that, like, HIV doesn't discriminate or, like, it doesn't judge, like, on your looks, where you go to school, where you work, what you do in life, where you come from, your family. Like, it doesn't really matter, and it doesn't really care. And that's, like, one of the main reasons she did it, to break down that stereotype. And, I mean, it definitely got controversial, like, reviews after because people were, like, you know, people were, like, a little bit, like, whoa, like, you know, it was like, a fun fluff story at the same time. It was a good way to show the world that, you know, it doesn't matter, like, where you come from. Like, HIV doesn't care. You're going to get it if you're not responsible for your actions.
Right. When I also think that, I mean, there's so many different faces of HIV. You know, it doesn't, like you said, it just because you're good looking or you're young or you're in shape or you're not in shape or you're not healthy or, I mean, it can be anyone. That's what people don't really understand. I mean, you know, we're just another sector of the population that has something going on with us. Actually, I got a backlash email from Robert when you did that mock-up of HIV Vogue with Angina in the picture.
Yes.
Someone wrote me and they said, you know, like how you're just trying to glamorize it and act like it's not a big deal. And, you know, that's just inappropriate. And a lot of people are really suffering and on, which I think is a valid point. But there's also a lot of people that are, you know, some people deal with it by joking about it or not being serious about it or, you know, not thinking about it. And some people, you know, say, look, I'm still fabulous and I'm HIV positive. Some people take different routes. Some people are very serious about it. I mean, it's I don't think there's a right way to represent HIV. It is what it is.
No, I think, like, that's another issue we had when I did the cover of Pause. And, like, when I do other, like, things, like, when I did Toilet Christina, all that stuff, like, some people were, like, very supportive. Like, oh, my God, like, I got emails from, like, well, not emails, letters from, like, prisoners. That was, like, scary at first. But I was like, okay, I guess so. I was in prison. And I got, like, good letters from, like, young people, like, oh, my God, you're an inspiration, or, like, you know, you really helped me, blah, blah. But then I got, like, the backlash, and that was scary because, like, oh, you know, you're trying to glamorize it just because, like, you have a fabulous life or this or that, and, like, your friends are all, like, have big boobs and they're perfect and they're beautiful, you know, like, you know, they just try to pick on anything. They try to say that I was doing such a negative service to HIV, but at the same time, I was like, no, you got to listen up to how it is. You know, we are not in, you know, 20 years ago. This isn't like 1980s or early 1990s. People, if you get early treatment, you know, you can probably live a healthy, full life. And people need to realize that this isn't like back then. It's, you know, we're advanced now. We can deal with this. And, you know, a lot of people think that, I was doing a disservice in that sense, and then some people were very supportive to it, and I kind of felt in the middle because, yeah, I have now a pressure on me of showing the world that, okay, why would you want to get HIV? Why would you want to go to the doctors every 3 months and get your blood drawn? And why would you want to pop 2 or 3 pills a day and, you know, just to live your life? But at the same time, I have to show the world that, you know, if you are diagnosed with it, like, you can live on, you can keep going, you know, you don't stop your dreams, don't give up on all you're accomplished, like, all that you want to accomplish, don't just, you know, just live another ordinary life and forget about everything that you really work for or want to work for.
Right, which I think is an important message, and then at the same time, there, you know, you do have to acknowledge there are people that are struggling, there are people that aren't as lucky as you or the three of us, that don't have access to medication, that don't have insurance, that may live in another country, that may live somewhere rural. There are tons of people that are struggling. And,
right.
You know, and I know people that are friends of mine that, you know, have good years and bad years. And you know, maybe they were diagnosed, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and they unfortunately let their immune system, you know, they're coming back from something. But there's just so many different circumstances for every individual. But my point was trying to be that there's not a right way. Like, speaking about it is good no matter how you speak about it. If you try to make it sound light and fun and, like, it brings attention to it, no matter how you address it, as long as we're addressing it and showing a face of HIV and that's truthful and honest.
Definitely. I think, like, HIV is something that people are like, I'm sorry if you hear noise, I'm driving, and I have, like, the sunroof closed and everything, but it's so noisy. But I'm trying to get to work. You guys, I'm trying to do, like, double tasking here. I'm not really good at this. If you hear bang, that means I crashed. I think, like, you hear, like, if HIV is something that people don't talk over the dinner table, and mostly in the Latino community, like Hispanics, they're very, like, if you don't hear it, you don't see it, then it's not, like, you know, it doesn't affect you. But the reality is, like, HIV needs to become a topic of the dinner table. Like, you know, oh my God, truck. Like, you need to see, like, HIV as something of, like, oh, okay, so you guys, have you been practicing safe sex? And, like, you know, there is HIV out there still, and it is still, like, you know, a danger to your health and this and that. You know, and I think that people are more concerned with, like, oh, are you taking care of not eating too many sweets or getting diabetes? Or, so are you getting pregnant? Like, don't get pregnant, wear a condom. Like, no, pregnancy is not the first thing you should think about. Yeah, it's one thing, but that's just one of many other things you should think about. And I think that HIV needs to become that topic. And I feel that the community in general, those who are affected by it and friends pay attention to it, and some people are really aware of it. Well, and on the other side, you don't see, like, a license plate, like the breast cancer thing. Everyone, like, those breast cancer awareness license plate, why don't we have an HIV one? Why don't we see, like, HIV ribbon on, like, the Kellogg's bars? Why don't we see, like, the HIV ribbon on more things than just, you know, on AIDS Walk and, like, AIDS awareness? No, like, we need more support. We need more, like, of the community to kind of be aware that this is actually something that's taking over, you know. Miami is, like, one of the highest, if not the highest, place of young HIV infections from ages 6 to 24. That's kind of disgraceful. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are all these efforts of the people that have fought for us to stay away from being HIV positive? What are all the efforts going to? You know, there's so many people that died because of this fighting to make sure we weren't infected, and people that are my age are becoming infected, and it's like, okay, so, like, are we doing this for no reason? Are people not caring? Like, what's going on?
The one thing for me, Jesse, is when I read your article is I could relate to it because I was diagnosed at a young age of 21 as well, and you were 19. So for me, it was just so encouraging and nice to see somebody out there who was putting themselves out there to offer hope for other people. Because like you said in the article, you kind of like ignored it, like it wouldn't happen to me, I'm invincible, and you didn't see somebody your age, you know, going around saying, look, this could happen to you.
I think that's one of the biggest problems. Like, we have so many people who are, you know, I don't want to be like a biatch, but there's so many people that are older and are fighting for the disease, but, you know, there's no one young saying, okay, look, I'm infected, and, like, you know, this is my life, and this is what's happening, and, you know, you can get it, too. It doesn't matter who you are. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. You can get it, even if you're young, even if you think you're invincible, even if, you know, you love partying on the weekends, and, you know, you like being, like, crazy. You can get it, and it doesn't discriminate, and that's something that I realized in the HIV community. There's not a lot of young people putting their faces out there, and I think someone should take the responsibility, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take the responsibility and try to do it, and if I could get more other young people that are infected by the disease doing it too, then you know what, maybe we could start something, movement, a change, and actually get more people to be aware.
I just think it's amazing that at the age of 19, you had that mindset already.
I mean, I think it's, you're responsible. Like, I took my diagnosis a little bit different than everyone. Like, I found out on a Monday, like, my first test, you know, they do that first, ELISA test, and it comes back, and it says you're positive, but then you have to do the Western blot. Well, I found out on a Monday at, like, 9:50 in the morning, and I didn't even cry. Like, I just found out, and I was like, okay, my first question was, like, am I going to die? And they go, no, you don't die anymore, blah, blah, you have healthcare, whatever, this and that. I was like, okay, so what do I have to do? Like, what are the things? They're like, you're just going to, you know, we're going to send you to HIV special and stuff. But that day, I went to school like normal. I went to work like normal. Like, and that same day, I told my friends, like, look, this is what's going on. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, my girlfriend, you know, here, like, one of my bestest friends, like, you know, it's like a Jewish girl, like, she's super, like, you know, oh my God, gaudy, like, Maserati type of girl. So I was like, oh my God, she's, like, they're so shallow, they're probably gonna, like, not love me anymore. Like, they're probably gonna, like, be like, oh, he's not, like, good enough. Cause, you know, HIV has that stigma that you're, like, less, or you're dirty, or, you know, that stigma that you're, like, concerned about. So I was like, God, I can't, like, you know what, I might as well just tell them and deal with everything at the same time, deal with the big bang. And I told them, and they were like, you know what, Jesse, like, it's not a big deal. You just gotta concentrate on your health. You gotta concentrate on you, and you gotta make sure, you know, you take care of yourself, go to the doctor, do this, do that. Tell your partners. I'm like, yeah, definitely. Like, they're so, and it was too late, because a couple of days later, I put in my resignation letter at my job, and I was like, you know, I'm going to take a break from all this, thinking that, you know, I was going to be judged. And then a couple months later, I was like, hell with this. I'm not going to let something like this ruin my life. I'm going to continue to conquer my dreams and my goals.
Cool.
Do you do touring? Because you mentioned something in the article that you always wanted to do, like touring and speaking to kids in schools and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I do. I've spoken to, like, young, not as young, I mean 14 to, like, 20, like, some people, like, they asked me to come and talk, but it's not, it's mostly local. I've only done, like, one thing out of Miami, because I'm always so busy with work, obviously. Like, I'm going to work right now until 11:30, and then school from 7 in the morning till 1, so twice a week. It's kind of hard, but I can book in stuff sometime occasionally. Like, I'll be able to do, like, on the weekend, or I'll call out sick or take a personal day, and they'll be like, why are you out? I'm like, oh, I had to take care of business. But everyone at work knows, so they're kind of open about it, and they're like, okay, we understand. And, like, that's what I'm happy about, that, like, everyone at work understands my situation.
Explain to everyone who doesn't know you basically what you do, like, and what your life is like.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone knows I'm Jesse. I'm 21 years old. I started working in TV news when I was 16 years old as a reporter for WLRN's Kids Corners and Teens Connected, which is a show, like, it shows, like, teens, like, current issues in the community. Like, you know, when you're in high school, you kind of, like, are scared about going to college and what you need to do. So I would report on, like, you know, and although high school is stressful, the next step is college, and I would tell them, like, your SAT, what you need to know, like, you keep your grade point average up if you want to get to the school you want to be accepted to. I reported on, like, HIV awareness, on pet adoptions, like, cute stuff like that. Then when I was 18, I was hired at WSVM, the Fox affiliate in Miami, as a writer, and I was there for only, like, 3 months the most, because I left on March, on the same week of my birthday, on March the 4th, I left that week. And then a couple months later, I got hired at the CBS, owned by CBS in New York, here in Miami, and I've been their senior associate producer for 2 years now.
That's pretty amazing at your age, I would say, I think, for anyone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just have to, like, I think it's all about, like, your dedication and passion. And I may seem like a spastic person, and I'm always like like, you know, me and Jack, we go on the phone and we're bantering on for hours, like little girls. But at the end of the day, when it's time to get down to business, like, I get serious. Like, I know when it's time to play. I know when it's time to work. And I still want to live my life as a young adult. I mean, I know I'm only 21, but I want to be a young adult and still enjoy, like, everything that my friends do. Because, well, none of them work, but they go, like, on cruises and travel and this and that. And I'm like, sorry, guys, I can't go. But... Exactly, it's so sucky. Like, I'm like, sorry guys, I can't go. Work is more important. And they're like, oh, what the flip? I'm like, sorry bitches, deal with it. So,
Do you find, I mean, since you just mentioned that Miami has a very high AIDS infection rate from 16, I think you said 16 to 24. I don't know what number
right.
you said, but.
Right.
Do you know a lot of the people your age that are HIV positive?
It's really funny because after I became positive, a couple people that were positive actually came up to me, and like once they saw me on the show, like Cristina, like that Hispanic show that I did, the Univision, and the Paws magazine cover, because people use Paws.com and, you know, a lot of websites, and they saw the article. A lot of people that I knew were coming up to me saying, you know, I've been positive for like 3 months or two. And then newly diagnosed people that I know have come up to me, and they're young. They're probably like from 20 to 27 the most. I mean, the oldest. Like, yeah, 27, like, the my friends, close friends that I've had for a while, yeah, like, I've had, like, 4 or 5 guys that have told me, look, I'm infected.
Oh.
So it's kind of scary because you're like, okay, well, like, why didn't you do this or do that? And it's sometimes, you know, all the cases to me are so similar in a sense, like, oh, my boyfriend didn't tell me, or like, oh, like, you know, I used a condom, but, like, I skipped and I got drunk, and, like, oh, I got done in the bathroom of a club, and I'm like, well, that's not smart. Like, what do you do? Like, you're not supposed to be doing that. I mean, if you want to be safe.
Right. Well, that's another thing I was actually discussing with friends over the weekend, and people always assume, like, that people tell the truth when you ask them, and I'm like, asking someone if they're HIV positive or HIV negative is not safe sex. Like, people lie, especially if they just want to have sex with you, you know?
No, yeah, exactly. That's Jack, like, you're so right. Like, you know, it's not even, at the end of the day, I kind of see it this way. At first, I was like, oh, like, ask the man who did this to me. But at the same time, I feel like, you know what, Jesse? It's your responsibility for being, like, to protect yourself. Like,
exactly.
If you can't protect yourself, like, if you have to protect yourself. You can't blame the people around you for your actions. It doesn't matter if you're drunk. It doesn't matter if you're, like, just, you're in the moment of the heat of the moment. You have to be responsible for yourself. If you love yourself and you love your body and you love who you are, you have to learn to put yourself first when it comes to your health and when it comes to just you. Like, you have to love yourself. You have to protect yourself because you only have one chance at this. Like, this is not a pair of, like, Gucci loafers. You can't return exchange or wait to the next season. You have to, like, this is a one-time deal. You're, like, so effed if you get effed.
Jesse, how have you dealt with disclosure from before you were on the magazine? Like, in that time frame of, what was it, 6 months in between your diagnosis and the magazine cover? Because the magazine came out in September of 2007, right?
Right.
So how did you deal with disclosure beforehand, and then how do you deal with it now since, you know,
I mean,
on the magazine?
It's just, I mean, to me, it's been kind of the same because I usually like to tell people up front, oh, my God, I almost hit a car. I like to tell people... Like, sorry guys, like, I'm trying to drive, but I'm almost at work, so I'll be safe. I like to tell people right off the bat, like, hey, I'm Jesse, I'm 21. You know, I don't like the way that people say, oh, by the way, I'm HIV positive. I hate that. Like, you know, it's like you're saying it with, like, oh, by the way, I have, like, a deadly disease. Don't touch me. I hate that. Like, don't do that. I just say it, like, you know, I'm Jesse, I'm 21, I have HIV. I work, I go to school, you know, and that's kind of added into a part of me because that's just a part of you. It doesn't make who you are, just it's a part of you. And that's how I feel about disclosing. I disclose it usually right off the top. And the guys I date are usually, you know, my two ex-boyfriends are negative and they're negative still. So I kind of feel happy about that. But it's kind of worrisome at first when you're dating someone who's negative and you're positive because you're like, okay, like, if something happens to this person, like, I, you know, I care for them, and, like, you start to fall in love with them, and you're like, well, if something happens to this person, it's my responsibility, it's my fault, and, like, if you were to break up with them, and they're positive, and you know, like, you kind of feel so many questions and so many things going through your head.
That's true, but also, I think that's why it's so important for positive people to be, you know, monitoring their viral load and keeping it at an undetectable level, because, you mean there's been many studies published that if you have your, the lower your viral load is in your bloodstream, logically, the less contagious you are, because you, if you can't find the virus in your blood, it's hard to transmit it to someone else. So
right. I mean, I'm contagious, though, because I don't take pills. I mean, I don't take the medication just yet. I mean,
you don't
my
take any medications?
No, no, not yet. Like, in the three... Well, how long has it been now? Like, 3 years or two? Something like that?
Yeah, 21.
Thanks, Jack. I'm really bad at math. I failed math in college twice already.
It's only
so, like,
2 years. Hi.
Like, I have, like, a math disability, I swear. Like, it's not even funny. I should park in a handicap. But I'm kidding, guys. Don't take it offensively. I'm making a joke. But, yeah, I mean... It's just, like, I don't take any pills right now because my doctors, they're very, like, okay, well, you do have the option of taking the pills. A new study shows that it helps to stop, like, HIV from affecting your brain and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, but what do you guys recommend I do? And they're like, well, you mean your viral load? My viral load 3,000 and my CD4 cells are 745 last time I checked. So they're like, no, you're still, like, pretty good. So,
yeah,
you know, you have, like,
good.
If they... Like, to them, if they feel that if I drop, like, under 400, then they're going to recommend I start taking the medication.
Right.
So, to them,
well,
I kind of...
Yeah, neither Robert nor I are doctors, obviously, but there are many different schools of thought on that. Robert doesn't take meds. I take meds. I've been taking them since, basically, I was diagnosed. So, you know, that's a discussion for everyone to have with their doctor.
Right.
That's a good way to look at it. One of the things that also that was mentioned in the magazine article was that you said that you were going to these clubs where there was, you know, underage, you know, what was it, 18 and over clubs, and I remember going to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem in Miami. I know where you're going with this question. Like, that's a problem in Miami, I think. It's that there's a lot of young guys having sex with, I mean, not Miami, probably everywhere. A lot of young guys having sex with older guys, and, you know, you just... I mean, I'm attracted to usually older guys, so I guess that was my problem. And a lot of the older guys feel that, you know, young boys, they're not going to care because, I don't know, for A, B, and C reasons. But a lot of older guys, they feel like, you know, maybe they lie to us. Maybe they'll say, oh, no, I'm not positive, or, yeah, you know, they just don't say it, or they get us really drunk or something. But at the point is, I'm not going to blame anyone for what happened to me. I'm going to take responsibility for myself. Like, I was stupid. I didn't use a condom. Okay, that's what I got. And, you know, you can't dwell on something you can't change, you know. The sky's blue. I can't change it. So I'm just going to live on.
Right.
Sounds good.
Why are you laughing? What did I say?
Well, you're just such a hot mess. Listen, so now tell me about, I want to hear about the story about Christina. Like, break it down, girl. I want to hear the, because Christina is, like, the Oprah of, like, the rest of the world besides the United States. Except, and weren't you telling me, like, Oprah reaches, like, 30 million viewers or something, and Christina reaches, like, 100 million or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
like that,
like, Oprah reaches 30 million viewers within the United States, and Christina, she's just been around a little bit longer than Oprah, and she's probably a little bit older than Oprah. She's 100 million viewers in South America, the United States, and Europe. So the show was really good. It was about, like, HIV in the Latino community, because it's obviously Cristina en Univision, which is Hispanic, a Latino network. They spoke about, like, how HIV affects the community, and they had straight couples on the show, like this Puerto Rican mom who got HIV from her husband, but her kids were born without it. This other mom from California. Actually, the girl was on the same magazine that I was in September 2007. Her mom gave it to the girls because she got it from her husband, and the girls were born with it. But it was really good. It was a good variety of people to show the world that, you know, it doesn't discriminate and nothing. They asked me questions about how did I become infected, how did I deal with it, just like this, like, how did I deal with it, what do you think, is it your responsibility to be responsible for your actions? I said, yeah, I think it's my responsibility to be responsible for my actions, but at the same time, when you're young, you kind of put the responsibility, like, it's kind of like a child thing to do. When I was a little bit younger, which I still am young, but I mean a little bit younger, like 12, you know, you kind of feel like your mom and your dad are responsible for you. And I kind of felt like the older guys I dated were responsible for telling me something if something was wrong. Even though I would ask, like, you know, do you have, you know, STD or something? And they would say no. I kind of feel like it's a responsibility that, you know, a person would have to tell you. But then you kind of realize, why do they have responsibilities to tell you if you're not being safe with your life?
Right.
One of the things that somebody once told me that kind of stuck in my head is you always assume that they have it, then you're always safe.
Right. That is something I've heard before. I mean, a little too late now, but
right.
I've heard it before. And I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to definitely. Well, now I just think everybody has hepatitis C because that's what I don't want.
Right.
So I'm like, everybody has hepatitis to me. Like.
Well, no, I mean, a different way of saying the same thing is you can only protect yourself. I mean, you can only control what you do. You know, whether someone's lying or not, whether they have HIV, whatever, Hep C, various numerous STDs or not, it doesn't really matter. You can only control what happens to you. So you have to be in charge of protecting yourself.
Exactly. That's like the message like people need to get. And like talking about that, I also wanted to bring up that, you know, the media and all like the advocacy and most of the efforts put towards this concentrate on telling people like, be careful, like take care of yourself, all this and that. But I don't hear enough. How about people who are infected? What are we supposed to do now? You understand? That's where I'm kind of like upset about, where I'm like, okay, so, you know, we hear like protect yourself. Well, it's too late. I can't protect myself. Like, what am I supposed to do now?
No, and I actually think that, that's why we have shows like this and why we like, I work on Living Positive by Design and I go around the country and talk about being, and that's why the, you know, role models like us that are being open and vocal are really important for people to see that like, and I think it's true when you mentioned earlier, you know, and we talked about this a little bit last week, where if you are battling cancer and you're a survivor and you're like, you know, revered and you're like, so, you know, what a strong fighter you are. If you're battling various other diseases, you know, you're looked upon with respect and sympathy. And when you have HIV, there's a stigma that's attached to it that, you know, that you're supposed somehow to blame. And that you,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
We don't deserve the same attention and the same help and the same, you know, recognition that everyone else does. So I think that's by talking about it and being visible, that's how we change that.
Right. Like I was reading, I don't know what it was online. It was from a friend or something. Someone said something and I was very offended because they go, why am I going to, I remember what it was. I just did the AIDS walk last week. No, it was the week before that because last week I did this walk for like children. What is it? March of Dimes. The week before that, there was an AIDS walk in Miami, and I remember I asked, like, my friends on Facebook to donate money, and they sent out the message to their friends and stuff like that, and one of the girls, one of my girlfriend's friend who's straight as a guy, is like, why am I going to donate money to a cause for people who are responsible for what they did to themselves? And I was like, oh, my God, that's so offensive, like, come on. Like, it's not like I went out there, and I was like, okay, who wants to F me in the A, and who has HIV because I want to get it, like...
Right. No, but I think that's kind of an underlying belief of a lot of people is that we did this to ourselves and somehow we're to blame. So, like, you know, and whereas someone who has cancer is totally innocent, although they may be, you know, who knows what causes cancer. But,
right.
You know, I mean, I just think that there's this negative stigma that somehow what we do is shameful and that being, and not that, you know, HIV is a gay disease, but in this country it affects gay men disproportionately. It's like somehow we're to blame, and then it's okay to discriminate against us, and it's okay, you know, to look down upon us, which is just not cool. So,
right, and I think that's a big issue. Like they think that, you know, we're responsible for everything we've done to ourselves and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we understand we're responsible for what we did to ourselves in that sense, but at the same time, is it our fault? We didn't ask someone to give it to us. Like, I've had friends, a recent friend just told me, like, you know, my boyfriend's been positive for a while, and I didn't know about this, and we've been having sex, and a couple times I've skipped the condoms, and he ended up becoming positive, and I was like, oh, my God, and you didn't know? And he's like, no, I didn't even have a clue. I was like, and he didn't tell you? And this guy knew for a while now, so I was kind of, like, a bit upset about that, not because the guy didn't tell him, but I kind of felt like, okay, well, he should use protection, and secondly, you should have gotten tested with him together. Because if you're with someone in a relationship, I think it's important for both of you to go get tested together and see, you know, share your results.
Yeah, that's actually something that I did with I already knew that I was, you know, positive, but I went with the partner that I'm with now, and when he went and got tested, and I go every time that he goes because it's important to be there, you know, just in case anything would come back. the way I want.
Right, anything, exactly. Like, I would want to know if my partner has, like, I don't know, syphilis, and be like, okay, well, we can't do this anymore. You got to wait till you get cured, or, like, you know, till you're over the disease, or, like, but I kind of feel like people don't really do that anymore. Like, they kind of feel like, oh, he's my boyfriend. He says he's, like, he has nothing, so he's disease-free, so I guess I'll trust him. Well, yeah, you should trust him, but at the same time, you gotta take care of yourself, and you should go together.
Do you think, I mean, you're obviously a very young person. Do you think that, it's a question I get asked a lot, that since your generation really never witnessed or doesn't really remember witnessing, you know, the AIDS epidemic and its when it was just killing people within months, and people were really dying all over the place, and then it made a huge impact on how we thought about the disease. So it's and actually I think a recent study just came out that shows that while actually more young people are being infected by HIV, they're thinking about it less seriously. They're not being as precautious. They don't have the, you know, they're not being as safe as often. They're not being as vigilant about protecting themselves. What's your opinion on that?
I think, I'll be honest with you, I have mixed feelings on it, because in school they educate you about it, and, you know, I remember being in school and the educators are like, oh, you know, you are infected by this and you get sick and then eventually you die, but they never said you die right away or anything like that. So that's kind of changed from like the view back then, which is like, oh, you get infected and you die within a couple months or a couple years. No, that changes. But I think that people, young people, are kind of taking it at, like, granted, like, oh, well, you don't die of HIV anymore, but they're not consciously saying it. Like, they're subconsciously thinking it, though. I think that's my view. Like, they're subconsciously thinking, well, you don't really die of HIV, you know? So I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like a difficult topic, because in school, they educate you. You have to take, it's required, well, in my state of Florida, it is required for students to take 2 years of health, fitness and nutrition, and during the health section of the class they teach you all about like STDs, HIV, disorders, all this stuff, and they kind of tell you, like, you know, this is HIV and this is what happens to your immune system and this is how you get it and that A, B, and C, and you're done. But
right.
they never really emphasize on certain points, like you know, you could get from HIV, also you're prone to being sick because your immune system is down, so you're more prone to getting this kind of sickness, or you're prone to getting this, this, and this, and this. They just say, okay, it attacks your immune system, and, you know, you could die, you'll probably live a regular life, you might die of other complications, but that's about it.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically what they do in school. When I was there, is just kind of briefly explain what it is and then skip right over it.
Exactly.
You know, I don't really think that you. I don't. I mean, even when I back in the olden days was in, we had sex ed in health class. You don't really. Those things are just words. Nothing. It doesn't make actual sense to you until you experience it in some way. Yeah. So until you experience and it's an integral part or an actual real tangible part of your life, you don't pay attention to it.
Right, I think it's something like you're told, and then you kind of know it. It's in the back of your head, but you're like, oh, okay, great. I was told you could get HIV or AIDS or like blah blah blah, and that's about it. Like, there's nothing else to it. And you're like, oh, but you know, I could probably get pregnant quicker than I could get HIV.
Right.
I mean,
well,
I can get pregnant.
You probably could.
I've been trying the last couple months trying to find someone with super sperm. Like. Wait till I see you tomorrow. I'm going to rip your head off, Jack.
Oh, yeah, Jesse's coming to New York for my birthday party.
I know. You see, I'm such a sweet friend. I actually, like, booked a ticket, bought the place, and, well, rented the place, and I'm actually going to go see Jack for his... How old are you going to be, 62?
Oh, I'm a cut a bitch, lady. I'm 40. I'm 40 today.
40, wow. Wow, I know you're kind of. Don't worry, everyone. Jack looks fabulous for his age. His ass is still floating up in the air. He's still Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima.
Shut up! Oh my God, that is wrong on so many levels.
Oh, shut up.
Well, I just want to send a reminder out to people who may be not in the chat room that you can call in and ask questions or have a comment for Jesse at 347-215-9442. Just to put that out there in case there's people listening who aren't in the chat room who can see that.
I mean,
so Jesse, what's your ethnic background?
Oh, well, my mom is Cuban American, and my dad is from Spain, and his parents, like his by his side, they're from someone's like his mom's mom is Icelandic, and then the rest are like German.
So you're mainly Cuban and Spanish. Like,
yeah, I just say I'm Hispanic. It's much easier.
Okay. So it's a big issue, like, in the Hispanic community. How did your family and your parents and stuff, when you told them how, I mean, you're obviously very open about
the
whole subject matter.
So we went over the friends thing. The friends were very supportive. There was only one of them who was kind of distant, and she, like, vanished eventually. But
right.
My mom, it was really funny how I told my mom, I was on the computer, like, looking up stuff for, like, HIV and, like, what I needed to do. And I had gone to my first appointment without, like, my mom or anyone going with me. I went, like, all alone. To the HIV center, and I was sitting in my room, and my parents had come back from like a vacation, and I was in my room in my underwear, and I was sitting there just reading.
Like me
stuff.
Now.
Yeah, exactly, like you now, except that my hands weren't inside my underwear, but but I was reading the computer, and I was kind of like a little bit depressed, and I was getting sentimental just reading like stories about like people being affected in the like 1988, 1989, like people dying, and like how one friend, and like I got so sentimental. My mom walked in, and I just started crying. I was like, Mom, I have something to tell you. And she's like, Oh my God, what's wrong? I was like, Mom, I'm really sick. And she goes, Okay, well, let's go to the hospital. I was like, no, not that sick. I mean, I have a disease. She goes, Okay, what is it? I was, it's not swine disease, guys, so don't. I was like, oh, okay, I have HIV, and she goes, okay, and she kind of hugs me, and she's like, you know, everything's going to be okay, and, like, you know, you got to remember this, like, I promise that I will never let anything happen to you, and, like, you know, the order, I said this in the Pause magazine, too, she said it, like, that same day, she was like, you know, the order of things is you bury me, I don't bury you, and that is how it's going to stay. I was like, I felt so much comfortable hearing those harsh but, like, real words.
Right.
Like, you know, you don't ever want to bury your parents, but that's the order of nature. That's how, you know, that's what's supposed to happen. And I kind of felt so much comfortable when she told me. As far as my extended family, because, you know, us Hispanic people, we love to breed. We have, like, so many, like, cousins and distant cousins and all that stuff. So they kind of found out mostly through the Cristina show. So my sisters, I found out through me. I'm going to tell you a funny story about my older sister because we don't have that much time. My younger sister found out through me. She's 24. And the older one's 32, I believe. She found out. She was actually here down from Texas because she lives in Texas. She's happily married, so no one can take her. She was here visiting because my grandma had a heart attack, and I was, like, feeling really sick. I was in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. I had some kind of, like, throat infection. And she came down, and I left the hospital, and my grandma was here in the hospital, too. And my sister goes back home, and the September issue of Pause magazine had already been released. Well, one of the lawyers that works for my sister's company, his partner's positive, and he got the magazine. And he goes, oh, my God, Maria, look, doesn't this look – it looks like you. And I had never told my older sister, like, oh, I'm gay. I mean, she suspected it. Because when I was, like, 12, one day she's like, oh, I love those gates. Like, she wanted, like, these certain, like, gates for the house. And she's like, oh, I love those gates. I'm like, yeah, I'm gay, too. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know why that came out. It just happened. And my sister was like, what? I'm like, it's
oh,
so
my
silly.
God.
And
it's, like, hysterical.
I was like, I'm gay, too. And, like, it was so funny. And then she's like, what?
When
I'm
you
like,
were
no,
12?
No. Yeah, I was 12. Hello, look at the picture I posted on Facebook. Like, I'm posing at 4, and I'm writing. And my mom put me in a pink outfit riding a pony. What is that? Like, I think they all knew something was up.
No, I know. There's a picture of me roller skating when I'm 3, so I'm like, okay, really?
I'm telling you,
yeah.
Something was up. So back to the story. My sister was like, the lawyer's partner guy goes, oh, doesn't that looks like you, Maria, and he has your last name. And Maria goes, oh, my God, that's my brother. I was like, oh, my God. And she called me up, like, the next morning. I was driving back from the beach. And she's like, I know I was sick the next one day before, and I'm at the beach the next. But I was driving back from getting a little, like, a tan because I'm, like, super pale, pasty, ass Jack. And she goes, oh, like, you know, I know a couple things already. I'm like, what is it, the gay thing? And she goes, yeah. And then she goes, you know, you just got to be safe from this point on. And I was like, why are you saying this? And she goes, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I pulled into my house, like, garage opening. And as soon as she's like, you know, I also know about the HIV thing, I was like, okay, reverse. Like, I started driving more. I'm like, okay, how did you find out? And she's like, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that I found out like this, that you didn't tell me, that have the confidence in me. So from that point on, I was like, oh, I felt so bad. Like, I felt so bad. So everything that happens now, I tell her, like, if I break a nail, I'll call her out. I'll be like, oh, my God, I broke my nail. So in case,
right,
like, anything ever happens, like, she knows everything.
Right.
Well, that's important because a lot of people are afraid to open up and, you know, reveal their status to their family and friends. And hearing stories like yours where people are like, well, why didn't you tell me? You know, like, I'm here to support you. And, like, hearing stories like that really helps people who are newly diagnosed. So I think it's really important to share that.
And I think it's really important, like, for people to know, like, their, like, to know their family. Like, you're not going to open up to your 80-year-old grandma. You don't, your 85-year-old grandma doesn't need to know this. Do you understand? Like, you're not going to open up to someone who's in their deathbed, like, and will make them worry more. Do you understand?
Right.
Like, that's how I see it. That's my personal opinion. I don't know what everyone's is, but I wouldn't open up to, like, my grandma. Well, obviously, she saw it because she loves Cristina, but, I mean, I wouldn't
say that.
It's true. Her name is El Cho de Cristina. Like, it's really, like, Hispanic, really, like, out there. But nothing, like, I wouldn't talk because I don't want her to worry and be like, oh, my God, I have diabetes and I have to worry about you. I'm like, oh, my God, forget that.
Right.
But now, but you got to just
be,
like,
you know what? I mean, I hear that a lot. People are like, well, I'm not going to tell, you know, even if it's about being gay or being HIV positive or whatever, like, I'm not going to tell my grandparents because they're old and whatever. And I think they get shafted a lot of times because my mom told my grandfather that I was gay when he was, like, 85. He's passed away now. But he was like, okay, that's cool. Like, and he was, like, a Republican. And, you know, I mean, sometimes people think, oh, just, you know, don't bother them with that. But they're, you know, just because you're older, and now that I'm 40 and going on in my years, it's like, you
62.
Know, I'm 62.
Okay.
You know, you feel like the same person inside your head, no matter what the numerical age you are is. So I think if you're close to someone and it's important that they care about you, they'll want to know, you know, and they'll be there to support you as well, hopefully.
Right. I mean, I also think that, I mean, my parents are, like, well, I'm not going to say my parents are, but most of the time these Republicans, you know, they're Cubans and the Bay of Pigs and blah, 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 blah. So I kind of feel like the Hispanic or Latino community is very, like, they're very, like, oh, my God, HIV, like, blah, 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 like, scary. And, like, here we go with the swine flu in Mexico. And they're like, oh, my God, swine flu, put on a mask. That's how I feel if, like, I tell someone who's Latino, like, I feel like they're going to grab a mask and put on, like, a hazmat suit and, like, put
in a barn. Let's talk a little bit about that. Like, what, I mean, since, you know, now that you are Hispanic, as we've established, what's with all the stigma and the hype and the not talking about things? And it seems to be culturally, like, sort of interwoven with the religion and a lot of different things. Like,
yeah,
what's going on there?
Like, I'll be honest, Jack, like, I'm pretty knowledgeable on many things except that. Like, I still do not understand and comprehend why people are so, like, they're so, like, oh, my God, scared of HIV when you're a Latino or Hispanic, like, a Hispanic person. Like, I don't understand, like, why can't we talk about it? Why can't we say it? Like, I think people see it as a, oh, my God, they're less of a person, or, you know, they're not good enough, or they're dirty, or, you know, that means that they were slutty or they're drug addicts or something. And that's how I kind of see it. I'm not 100% sure. And that's why I'm going off a limb and going by what I've experienced in, like, my daily life. But I just feel like the Hispanic community, they're really, like, you know, like, it goes back all the way to, like, when the Spaniards were coming over and conquering. The lighter skin color you are, the more hierarchy you are, like, the higher you are in the social line. Like, back then they would think, like, the whiter you are, the better you are, the darker you are, the worse you are. And kind of, I feel like that's how they feel about HIV. Like, oh, if you have HIV, the lower you are.
Huh.
That's my
I think part of it maybe, I mean, I'm obviously not Hispanic, but I think I do live in Harlem, and I think the same thing exists in the African-American community, where part of it is also tied into the concept of masculinity and homosexuality, where being HIV positive and being gay are seen as, like, synonymous, and that you know, that HIV is a gay man's disease, and they don't, those two cultures, Hispanic and Afro American cultures, don't talk about being gay if you're a man, especially because it's like there's such a hyper masculinity that they won't, it's like really offensive to be gay. Like, do you find that to be true?
I do. You know what, Jack, you're so right. Like I've been to like social events where like most of the community, like they're Hispanic, and like most of the party that I've been to, like let's say I'll go to a party where everyone is Hispanic or most of them, and the guys, they're kind of like, they kind of find like they're scared of me a little bit. Like they say hi, how are you, but at the same time they don't try to socialize with me because they feel like, oh, he's gay.
Right.
You understand? And it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, I've gone to, and you know what's different though? People who are like involved in the media, I guess, are more open, like media and arts and fashion, all this, they're more open to it. So like, I mean, I've gone to like an event like, or the Billboard Awards, I went last year, and like all those people were so, they're Hispanic, they like barely spoke English, like they could say how are you and that's about it, but they were so open to the gayness because they work with so many gay people, so they kind of come to understand and learn them. But I think it goes back to, you know, accepting and opening your mind and opening your horizons and kind of learning every culture and every, you know, kind of lifestyle that there is out there. But I think that Hispanics kind of close off that door based on their, like, masculinity. You get me, or do you want me to do, like, the first grade version for you, Jack?
I think I'm pretty good now. I got it. Thanks.
Oh, okay, good. You're like getting distracted.
I think a lot of the what feeds into the stigma and creates more of it is homophobia, where people are afraid. You know what I mean? And it just kind of adds more and more to the stigma.
Like, yeah, definitely. I think homophobia is like the worst. Like, I mean, I haven't really encountered a lot of homophobic people, just a couple. And it's kind of intense because they're like, oh, you're gay, so you're probably, you like, do you want to look at me? I'm like, not really. Like, people think that just because you're gay, you love the locker room. Let me be honest with you. When I was in high school, I remember being in 10th grade class, and I had to go to the locker room, and my locker was the last one on the bottom. So everyone's penis was around my head while I was grabbing my clothes, and I just wanted to get out of there. Like, I just wanted to grab my clothes and run. Like, oh my God, I do not want your penis all over my face. Like, stop. Like, it's not that gay guys don't want to, like, look at you, and, like, they don't want to have sex with you just because you're gay, you know? I know, like, I could find a straight guy cute, but I know my lines. I know my limits. I know how far I can go. I can walk on the line. I won't go over it.
Like, we're not vultures.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Scary.
But I think that makes a good point that with any subject matter that people are unfamiliar with, like you said, Jesse, the people that are in the entertainment industry, they've worked with a lot of gay people, so there's not as much homophobia. The same as what we're trying to do with HIV is educate and familiarize. And the more you know people that are HIV positive and realize that, you know, it's not a death sentence and they're just normal people and there are people that are just coping with their health care the way a lot of people cope with a lot of things, then they'll become much more comfortable with it and it won't be such an issue. And that's really important for the HIV community in general because that's what's keeping people from telling people. Like, for an HIV-positive person is hesitant to tell their family because their family's not educated, and they'll assume the worst, and they don't go to get the medical care they may need because they're afraid of being judged. And all that stigma and all that stuff is just unhealthy, which is so important that we do what we do and keep being verbal and open, and you're very verbal about it all.
I'm very oral, Jack, very oral. No,
yeah.
I'm kidding. But let me tell you, like, you know, like there's such a negative stigma attached to HIV that it's kind of, like, frustrating because I remember I was young and, well, like, I keep saying I was young, but I was just, like, a year ago, I remember someone very important close to me who works in the same business I do and is, like, high up there and is on TV goes to me, like, Jesse, are you sure you want to disclose your HIV status? Because if you want to ever become an entertainment reporter, I don't think people in this business would really put you on air because of that. And I was so offended. Like, I felt like, you know what? If they can't see over that and they can't see past that and see how good I am at what I do and see that, like, how good of a person I am, period, in general, then I really wouldn't want to work with them.
Right.
that's how I feel. Like, there's so much stigma attached to, like, oh, like, it's going to stop you from doing things. It's like a roadblock. No. We gotta stop seeing it like that. That's bullshit. Like, you can't see it as a roadblock. You got to keep doing what you want to do, and you got to stop telling people and dictating what you should do. No, it's what you want to do.
Well, yeah, and I think there may be some truth to what he said, but, you know, let's take the higher road, and instead of hiding what we are, like, let's kill the stigma, and then
exactly.
Get out, have people get over it, and be like, now you're educated, and you know that I can do my job just as well as the next person, so, you know, get over your stupid ignorance.
Exactly. Like, I'm not gonna hide in a little cave like an Eskimo or something. Like, what the hell? this is what I like to do.
To offend like 14 different racial like ethnic groups.
It's
so
all
far,
good.
You're like, Paul, me and Aunt Jemima, and you've talked about Eskimos and.
Like, you guys, I could, you know what? Because I'm so open to it, I hear like comments and commentary day. Like, I'm just so open to all the, like, you know, I make jokes about my HIV status. I'm like, girls, no one's gonna mess with us. If we're walking through an alley and some guy comes up to us and pulls a gun, I'll be like, bitch, I'll give you AIDS. Like, you know, I make jokes about it. Like, it's like you can't live. Like, my personal thought is, I cannot live my life. Like, oh my God, I have this disease and it's the worst thing in my life and da 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 da. No. You see it as a, you know, positive thing. You know what? You're more self-aware of your body and your health and this and that. And, you know, that's one part of your life. Your next part is like, my next part of my life is school and concentrating on, you know, working on my broadcast journalism degree. And then my next part of my life is work and make sure I'm doing good in that aspect. Like, you know, that's how I see it. I'm not going to concentrate on like being so negative about it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not negative any longer. I might as well be positive all around. Anyway, you have 5 minutes, Robert. You better get any questions you want now.
Well, I can't get in. You talk so fast. I'm trying to, like, catch up.
I know, dude. She's a little crack whore. She's, like,
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I've never done pot, drugs. Like, I've seen it. Like, you can call one of my girlfriends right now if you wanted to. Like, they'll tell you, like, I'm so against doing drugs because I just don't find – I mean, I'm a bit tempted.
Well, I mean,
I
think if you did any stimulants, your head would explode.
Oh, shut up. Your ass can explode. But, I just, like, I cannot see myself, like, putting coke up my nose. I think it's so, it looks painful. Like, have you ever seen that? Like, you put your nail up your nose and, like, no, even picking a booger is painful. Like, forget
oh,
that.
Oh, God, you're a mess. So, wait, do you now, if people can find you on, you're on Facebook, Jesse Sanchez, yeah, in Miami.
Yeah, Jesse Sanchez in Miami under the CBS News, C as in cat, B as in boy, S in sexy, network, or Miami. You can find me under that network, or you can find me on MySpace, Jesse Sanchez in Miami. You could tell from my picture who I am.
Yeah, you're a hot tranny mess.
Yeah, shut up. You know what? I was actually like a girl for Halloween, and I kind of make a cute girl.
I'm not surprised.
All right, shut up. Wait, you. I'm so gonna rip you a new one, Jack. Robert, I'm so disappointed that you're not coming to the birthday party, Robert.
I'm sorry, I have an event to work that night.
Really? What event?
I told you, my partner has an event that I run all his events, and he has an event that evening that we, you know.
Right.
We'll meet soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, I guess.
Definitely.
This is a sad story. All right.
Well, we're gonna think about you now.
Jeff,
okay,
we
great.
A minute, so I have one question for you before we go.
Go.
Okay. What has your HIV status taught you?
I'm still single, so I'm kidding. My HIV status has taught me that you cannot judge a person. You cannot be so you cannot judge a person at all. Like, I remember being in the car before I was positive and being like, oh my God, a homeless person, why don't they get to work? Like, la, 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 la. Like, I'm so crazy like that. And I kind of realized, you know what, you can't judge a person because you don't know what's happened in their life,
right.
What events they've gone through, their life experiences. Everything is a defining moment for every person. And I think the situation you are in at this point in your life is because of the actions you've taken and what has happened to you. And it's really helped me grow and understand the world around me.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much, Jesse. I appreciate you tuning in with
anytime,
us. And hanging out with
anytime. Oh, for sure. I can't wait to see you guys. And, Jack,
thank
I will
you.
See you tomorrow.
Right on, baby. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Jacqueline. Bye, Rob.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, Jack, he's a hoot. He's one of those guys, both of you, I would be sitting in the corner at the bar talking about everybody. Like, I could see it now, sipping on a martini, talking about everybody in the bar.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit more. I kind of become whoever I'm talking to, like, you know,
yeah.
But he's a little bit more. I can't even keep up with him, man. He's too many things.
Real quick, just to remind everybody, you can learn more about Jack at jackmackenroth.com, and you can learn more about me at the Paz I Am community at pazim.com. Jack, enjoy the rest of your birthday, and don't eat too many cupcakes.
Yeah, and go to livingpositivebydesign.com as well. And, join the Paz I Am community on pazim.com. We're getting a lot of people on there. It's cool.
Yeah, we are. It's awesome. And I appreciate it, man. Have a great birthday.
Have a good one. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
You got it. Bye.